Kaczynski said Rowley had exhibited dignity under false suspicion. I thought about really letting Rowley have it, for ratting me out like that. But then I realized something. In June, all the officers in the safety patrols go on a trip to Six Flags, and they get to take along one friend. I need to make sure Rowley knows I'm his guy. Tuesday. Like I said before, the worst part of getting kicked off safety patrols is losing your hot chocolate privileges. Every morning, I go to the back door of the cafeteria so Rowley can hook me up. But either my friend has gone deaf, or he's too busy kissing the other officers' butts to notice me at the window. In fact, now that I think of it, Rowley has been totally giving me the cold shoulder lately. And that's really lame, because if I recall correctly, he's the one that sold me out. Even though Rowley has been a total jerk lately, I tried to break the ice with him today anyway, and tossed a few snowballs at him. But even that didn't seem to work. April. Friday. Ever since the worm incident, Rowley has been hanging out with Colin Lee every day after school. What really stinks is that Colin is supposed to be my backup friend. Those guys are acting totally ridiculous. Today, Rowley and Colin were wearing these matching best friends t-shirts, and it made me just about want to vomit. After dinner tonight, I saw Rowley and Colin walking up the hill together, chumming it up. Colin had his overnight bag, so I knew they were going to do a sleepover at Rowley's. And I thought, well, two can play at that game. The best way to get back at Rowley was to get a new best friend of my own. But unfortunately, the only person who came to mind right at that moment was Fregley. I went up to Fregley's with my overnight bag so Rowley could see I had other friend options too. When I got there, Fregley was in his front yard stabbing a kite with a stick. That's when I started to think maybe this wasn't the best idea after all. But Rowley was in his front yard, and he was watching me, so I knew there was no turning back. I invited myself into Fregley's house. His mom said she was excited to see Fregley with a playmate, which was a term I was not too enthusiastic about. Me and Fregley went upstairs to his room. Fregley tried to get me to play Twister with him, so I made sure I stayed 10 feet away from him at all times. I decided that I should just pull the plug on this stupid idea and go home, but every time I looked out the window, Rowley and Colin were still in Rowley's front yard. I didn't want to leave until those guys went back inside, but things started to get out of hand with Fregley pretty quickly. When I was looking out the window, Fregley broke into my backpack and ate the whole bag of jelly beans I had in there. Fregley's one of those kids who's not supposed to eat any sugar, so 2 minutes later, he was bouncing off the walls. Fregley started acting like a total maniac, and he chased me all around his upstairs. I kept thinking he was going to come down off of his sugar high, but he didn't. Eventually, I locked myself in his bathroom to wait him out. Around 11:30, it got quiet out in the hallway. That's when Fregley slipped a piece of paper under the door. I picked it up and read it. Dear Gregory, I'm very sorry I chased you with a booger on my finger. Here, I put it on this paper so you can get me back. That's the last thing I remember before I blacked out. I came to my senses a few hours later. After I woke up, I cracked the door open, and I heard snoring coming from Fregley's room, so I decided to make a run for it. Mom and Dad were not happy with me for getting them out of bed at 2 in the morning, but by that point, I could really care less. Monday. Well, me and Rowley have officially been ex-friends for about a month now, and to be honest with you, I'm better off without him. I'm glad I can just do whatever I want without having to worry about carrying all that dead weight around. Lately, I've been hanging out in Roderick's room after school and going through his stuff. The other day, I found one of his middle school yearbooks. Roderick wrote on everybody's picture in his yearbook, so you can tell how he felt about all the kids in his grade. He would write above each kid's head, "Jerk," or "Cool." Every once in a while, I see Roderick's old classmates around town, and I have to remember to thank Roderick for making church a lot more interesting. But the page in Roderick's yearbook that's really interesting is the class favorites page. That's where they put pictures of the kids who get voted most popular and most talented and all that. You know, this class favorites thing has really got my gears turning. If you can get yourself voted onto the class favorites page, you're practically an immortal. Even if you don't live up to what you got picked for, it doesn't really matter, because it's on permanent record. Like Bill Watson. People still treat Bill Watson like he's something special, even though he ended up dropping out of high school. We still run into him at the food barn every once in a while. So here's what I'm thinking. This school year has been kind of a bust, but if I can get voted as a class favorite, I'll go out on a high note. I've been trying to think of a category I have a shot at. Most popular and most athletic are definitely out, so I'm going to have to find something that's a little bit more in reach. At first, I thought maybe I should wear really nice clothes for the rest of the year so I can get best dressed. But that would mean I would have to get my picture taken with Jenna Stewart, and she dresses like a pilgrim. Wednesday. Last night, I was lying in bed and it hit me. I should go for class clown. It's not like I'm known for being real funny at school or anything, but if I can pull off one big prank right before voting, that could do it. May. Thursday. Today I was trying to figure out how I was going to sneak a thumbtack onto Mr. Worth's chair in history when he said something that made me rethink my plan. Mr. Worth told us he has a dentist's appointment tomorrow, so we're going to have a substitute. Subs are like comic gold. You can say just about anything you want, and you can't get in trouble. I could see it now.
Greg Heffley, will you please do this problem?
Your mama.
Excuse me?
Your big fanny granny.
Well, I hardly think that's
your slap-happy grandpappy. Friday. I walked into my history class today, ready to execute my plan. But when I got to the door, guess who the substitute teacher was? Of all the people in the world to be our sub today, it was Mom. I thought Mom's days of getting involved at my school were over. She used to be one of those parents who came in to help out in the classroom, but that all changed after Mom volunteered to be a chaperone for our field trip to the zoo when I was in third grade. Mom had prepared all sorts of material to help us kids appreciate the different exhibits, but all anyone wanted to do was watch animals go to the bathroom. Anyway, Mom totally foiled my plan to win class clown. I'm just lucky there's not a category called Biggest Mama's Boy, because after today, I'd win that one in a landslide. She actually brought me my lunch. Wednesday. The school paper came out again today. I quit my job as school cartoonist after Creighton the Curious Student came out, and I didn't really care who they picked to replace me. But everyone was laughing at the comics page at lunch, so I picked up a copy to see what was so funny. And when I opened it up, I couldn't believe my eyes. It was Zooey Mama. And of course, Mr. Ira didn't change a single word of Rowley's strip. Zooey Mama by Rowley Jefferson. Hey, beautiful lady, do you want to go on a date with me?
I am not a lady. I am just one of those dogs with long hair, so no thanks to that date.
Zooey Mama. So now Rowley's getting all the fame that was supposed to be mine. Even the teachers are kissing Rowley's butt. I almost lost my lunch when Mr. Worth dropped his chalk in history class and said, "Zooey, Mama!" Monday. This "Zooey, Mama" thing has really got me worked up. Rowley is getting all the credit for a comic that we came up with together. I figured the least he could do was put my name on the strip as the co-creator. So I went up to Rowley after school and told him that's what he was going to have to do. But Rowley said Zooey Mama was all his idea and that I didn't have anything to do with it. I guess we must have been talking pretty loud, because the next thing you knew, we attracted a crowd. The kids at my school are always itching to see a fight. Me and Rowley tried to walk away, but those guys weren't going to let us go until they saw us throw some punches. I've never been in a real fight before, so I didn't know how I was supposed to stand or hold my fists or anything. And you could tell Rowley didn't know what he was doing either, because he just started prancing around like a leprechaun. I was pretty sure I could take Rowley in a fight, but the thing that made me nervous was the fact that Rowley takes karate. I don't know what kind of hocus-pocus they teach in Rowley's karate classes, but the last thing I needed was for him to lay me out right there on the blacktop. Before me or Rowley made a move, there was a screeching sound in the school parking lot. A bunch of teenagers had stopped their pickup truck, and they started piling out. I was just happy that everyone's attention was on the teenagers instead of me and Rowley. But all the other kids took off when the teenagers started heading our way. And then I realized that these teenagers looked awfully familiar. That's when it hit me. These were the same guys who chased me and Rowley around on Halloween night, and they had finally caught up with us. But before we could make a run for it, we had our arms pinned behind our backs. Those guys wanted to teach us a lesson for taunting them on Halloween night, and they started arguing over what they should do with us. But to be honest with you, I was more concerned about something else. The cheese was only a few feet from where we were standing on the blacktop, and it was looking nastier than ever. The big teenager must have caught my eye, because the next thing I knew, he was looking at the cheese, too. And I guess that gave him the idea he was looking for. Rowley got singled out first. The big kid grabbed Rowley and dragged him over to the cheese. Now, I don't want to say exactly what happened next, because if Rowley ever tries to run for president and someone finds out what these guys made him do, he won't have a chance. So I'll put it to you this way. They made Rowley E-A-T the cheese. I knew they were going to make me do it, too. I started to panic, because I knew I wasn't going to be able to fight my way out of this situation. So I did some fast talking instead. I said, I would, but I'm allergic to dairy. And believe it or not, it actually worked. You're lucky, punk.
I know.
I guess the teenagers were satisfied they had made their point, because after they made Rowley finish off the rest of the cheese, they let us go. They got back in their truck and took off down the road. Me and Rowley walked home together, but neither one of us really said anything on the way back. I thought about mentioning to Rowley that maybe he could have pulled out a couple of his karate moves back there, but something told me to hold off on that thought for right now. Tuesday. At school today, the teachers let us outside after lunch. It took about 5 seconds for someone to realize the cheese was missing from its spot on the blacktop. Everybody crowded around to look at where the cheese used to be. Nobody could believe it was actually gone. People started coming up with these crazy theories about what happened to it. Somebody said that maybe the cheese grew legs and walked away. It took all my self-control to keep my mouth shut, and if Rowley wasn't standing right there, I honestly don't know if I could have kept quiet. A couple of the guys who were arguing over what had happened to the cheese were the same ones who were egging me and Rowley on yesterday afternoon. So I knew it wasn't going to be long before someone put two and two together and figured out that we must have had something to do with it. Rowley was starting to panic, and I don't blame him either. If the truth ever came out about how the cheese disappeared, Rowley would be finished. He'd have to move out of the state, and maybe even the country. That's when I decided to speak up. I told everyone that I knew what happened to the cheese. I said I was sick of it being on the blacktop, and I just decided to get rid of it once and for all. For a second there, everyone just froze. I thought people were going to start thanking me for what I did. But boy, was I wrong. I really wish I had worded my story a little differently. Because if I threw away the cheese, guess what that meant? It meant that I have the cheese touch. June. Friday. Well, if Rowley appreciated what I did for him last week, he hasn't said it. But we've started hanging out after school again, so I guess that means me and him are back to normal. I can honestly say that so far, having the cheese touch hasn't been all that bad. It got me out of doing the square dance unit in phys ed because no one would partner up with me, and I've had the whole lunch table to myself every day. Today was the last day of school, and they handed out yearbooks after 8th period. I flipped to the class favorites page, and there, wearing a Zoo Wee Mama t-shirt, was class clown Rowley Jefferson. All I can say is, if anyone wants a free yearbook, they can dig one out of the trash can in the back of the cafeteria. You know, Rowley can have class clown for all I care, but if he ever gets too big for his britches, I'll just remind him that he was the guy who ate the you-know-what.
The End. You've been listening to Diary of a Wimpy Kid by Jeff Kinney. Narrated by Ramon de Ocampo. This book is copyrighted 2007 by Jeff Kinney. This recording is copyrighted 2008 by Recorded Books. If you've enjoyed this book and this performance, Recorded Books recommends The Chicken Dance by Jacques Cuvillon. Narrated by Stephen Boyer. Welcome to Horse Island, where knowing about chickens is the key to popularity, and eggs are more valuable than money. This is where 11-year-old Don Schmidt lives on a chicken farm with his parents. Enduring unbearable unpopularity with both his parents and at school, Don begins a friendship with the chickens that live outside his window. One day, when he enters a local chicken judging contest, he becomes the youngest person in history ever to win. This spurs a dramatic chain of events that makes Don the most popular kid in town. But it also leads him to discover that his parents have been hiding family secrets. Jacques Cuvillon has created an unforgettable story with a character who is charming, sincere, and just plain funny. You'll find a wide selection of titles in the Recorded Books catalog, including bestsellers, mysteries, classics, histories, and more. Call us toll-free or log on to www.recordedbooks.com to learn about our latest releases and special offers, order another recorded book, or to read author interviews and narrator profiles. Don't forget to ask about easy 30-day rentals by mail. And thank you for being a Recorded Books reader.